Welcome to another mini Bible talk on Amos. This is part of our series, The Lion Roars, Where Justice and Mercy Meet. We've been going through this at Gungahlin Bible Church. Here's a simple outline or structure of the book of Amos in the Old Testament. And we're in this middle section, chapters 3 to 6. Amos gives warning after warning, calling God's people in Israel to repent, to return to obedience to God's good commands. So God sends this farmer prophet called Amos from the southern kingdom of Judah to deliver a wake-up call to Israel in the northern kingdom. From chapters 3 to 6, Amos has been crying out to Israel, "Hear what the sovereign Lord God declares. God is coming like a roaring lion in judgment over your many sins." Now, we ended last week at Gungahlin Bible Church at chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, with God saying, "Time's up. My patience has run out. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Israel in the 8th century BC seems to be a land of comfort and confidence and complacency. Things are going really well in so many aspects of life, economically, politically, personally, even religiously. But for all the trappings of peace and comfort and successful living, there are deep, deep issues that Amos brings to the surface. And the purpose of this mini Bible talk is really to draw attention to their misplaced confidence in their religious life, especially in three places called Bethel, Gilgal, and Bathsheba. This comes out in the reference to Amos chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel. Do not enter Gilgal, or cross over to Bathsheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing." Now we've come across two of these places, Bethel and Gilgal, back in chapter 4, verse 4. Each of these places, Bethel, Gilgal, and Bathsheba, are religious shrines, are places of worship where the people of Israel can go on a pilgrimage and they can go and worship God. Now, all three places have Old Testament history attached to them. They're special places where God has done special things in the past. But across three places, and here in Amos chapter 5, he brings down a word of judgment, of condemnation. All three places will rightly hear God's roar of judgment. And I thought we'd look at each of them very briefly. Bethel is linked to Jacob in the Old Testament on two occasions. You might remember back in Genesis 28, Jacob has this dream of a ladder of angels ascending and descending between heaven and earth. And then in Genesis 35, God speaks to Jacob, reminding him of the promises he's already made to his granddaddy Abraham. So Bethel has this special place in Old Testament history. Bethel, the name, means house of God. But then along comes King Jeroboam the First. This is after the kingdom is divided into north and south, so Israel and Judah, so after King Solomon. And King Jeroboam the First comes up with this grand plan to set up a rival temple from the one in Jerusalem. He sets up rival priests, not from the tribe of Levi, and he places a golden calf in this temple for worship. Obviously, he didn't read his Bible back in Exodus 32, where golden cows and the worship of God doesn't go down too well. And so Bethel becomes notorious for this temple of blended religion. And then there's the reference to Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is first mentioned in Joshua chapter 4. Again, you might remember Joshua sets up 12 stones, not Stonehenge, but it's like a monument to celebrate and to remember God's miracle of bringing the Israelites across the Jordan into the Promised Land. So Gilgal also has a special place in Old Testament history. But in Amos's day and also in Hosea's time, Gilgal has become this center of worship that earns condemnation from God's prophets. Well, what about Bathsheba? This time it's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where God reveals himself to each of the Old Testament fathers and reminds them at each time in Bathsheba that he is with them. So, Bathsheba, has a special place in Old Testament history. But unlike Bethel and Gilgal, Bathsheba is actually in the land of Judah. And so what would happen is that at times Israelites would make religious pilgrimage, down south. But here the reference in Amos 5 and later in Amos chapter 8 verse 14, we learn that the worship of a pagan god is happening in Beersheba. And so in Amos's day, these three centers, Bethel, Gilgal, Beersheba, they were like Old Testament churches, sacred places for Israel to go, places they could go to offer sacrifices, say their prayers, hear good worship songs. Not sure if they had cafe time, but maybe they should have. But the main issue here is that Israel is removing Yahweh, their covenant-keeping God, off center stage. In fact, they've managed to mangle their worship of him, blending it with the worship of other gods. And in so doing, Israel is now in grave danger. Their false, empty worship is simply multiplying their sins. And God promises the promise from God via Amos is that Bethel is about to be reduced to nothing and is doomed. And Gilgal, well, that's going to go into exile, and travel to Beersheba will come to an end. See, Israel thought they could worship God on a Sunday and go on sinning the rest of the week. They loved their worship, but they loved their sin. And so they had set up a religion where they could do both. Perhaps they could have done well to reflect on this quote: "The key is in finding not the right place to go, but the right thing to do and the right way to do it. The true search for God, like the search for the true God, begins in the heart." You know, far too often I've come across people who think churchianity rather than Christianity. And at Gungahlin Bible Church, we want to be people who come to find and help people find and follow the true and living God. That is to strip back religion and churchiness and churchianity and get back to what the Bible says about what it means to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if the rock band REM was to turn up in Amos's day, they'd be singing, "Israel, lose your religion." May God save us from hypocritical religion, from false worship, from putting our confidence in modern-day Bethels and Gilgals and Beershebas. You see, when church is not about the holiness of God and it's hollow, empty religion, well, God is not pleased. When church is about outward actions but inwardly remains cold and hypocritical, then watch out. When church is about innovation or creating our own styles of worship, or the focus is about buildings or barns, then be warned that we might be straying from the Word of God. When churches claim to be Christian but ordain homosexual priests, or claim that all religions will get you to God, or even use religious language to blend in with the culture around us so there's hardly any distinction, well, we are to beware of the roaring lion. When coming to church for you means, well, going through the motions, making sure you put a little bit of money in the yellow box, you sing some neat worship songs, you do your bit here and there to serve, and then you think that all is well with the God of this universe, we'd do well to remember Bethel, Gilgal, and Bathsheba. I've given this Mark Dever quote before. In case you're ever tempted to think that attending church removes the threat of God's judgment, allow me to suggest that church is a lousy place to hide from God. He will find you wherever you are. I don't know if you know the story of the Cuban-American Rosie Ruiz. Back in 1980, she was the female winner of the Boston Marathon. In fact, her time was the third fastest in history at the time. As Rosie crossed the finish line in first place, many people were stunned, including Jacqueline Garou. Jacqueline had been training for this Boston Marathon race for 3 years. And at the back end of the marathon, she had pulled away from the pack and was leading the race for the last few kilometres, or so it seemed. About a kilometre or two from the finish line, Jacqueline all of a sudden realised that another woman was in front of her. Rosie Ruiz was a few hundred metres ahead, and because it was so close to the finish line, Jacqueline wasn't able to catch her. So Rosie Ruiz won the 1980 Boston Marathon for women, or so it seemed. The men's winner at the time, Bill Rogers, he was a third-time winner, he thought it very strange that this woman, Rosie Ruiz, appeared to have a little too much body fat and not enough muscle around her thighs to actually be a long-distance runner. On top of that, she hardly seemed fatigued or very sweaty or out of breath. And in her TV interview after the race, she didn't seem to know some simple terminology about running marathons, basically saying, "I train myself." Well, 8 days after the race, with many officials and fellow athletes like Bill Rogers and Jacqueline Guru having questioned what's going on with Rosie Ruiz, 8 days later, she was stripped of her winner's medal and it was revealed she had cheated. Various video and photography images were checked. Checkpoint people were questioned. Of course, this is well before the days of lots and lots of cameras and personal iPhones taking pictures and so forth. But it appears that Rosie Ruiz had jumped from the crowd with a couple of kilometres to go and had cheated her way to the finish line. You know, Israel think they can cheat their way to God using the religion of Bethel, Gilgal, Bathsheba. Bending the rules, breaking the rules, not really running the true race that God requires. And in the end, they had misplaced confidence in their religious life. It looked like they were running hard to the finish line, only for God, via Amos's preaching, to tell them they were disqualified. At GBC, we want to learn from the 8th century BC and also from the Boston Marathon of 1980 that the true running of the Christian race means focusing on worship that God ordains and what he calls holy and right, and that trusting in Jesus' blood and being clothed in his righteousness is what God requires as we worship. Are you doing that? If not, then come along to Gungahlin Bible Church and let's journey together in the true worship of the risen Lord Jesus. And on Sunday, we continue our journey through the book of Amos. I hope to see you there.